Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
There are some audible boos coming from the crowd.
This is shocking to this crowd.
Your cheers, your boos. It's part of being in sports.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Dale Arnold.
Why don't we just change the whole rules because New England got messed up? Cry me a river.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Rich Keith.
Tannehill. Under pressure, going to throw it deep, has his man open down the middle of the field for the touchdown.
Week after week telling us how great Shanahan is.
Where would you put Lamar Jackson?
Leave
John and Shime out of this because they were geniuses.
Dale and Keith, middays.
Is that true? Is that
on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We're down here at Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday. We've got Andy Hart in the house with us. I'm somewhat confused. I'm happy, but somewhat confused as to why we have Andy Hart here. Because I was under the impression that Fitzy couldn't do the morning show today, so they moved Jermaine to that show. But then I heard them both on at 6 o'clock.
A lot of moving
parts,
Dale.
I just show up and I'm told to show up.
Do my job. In on Monday.
Thank you, Andy.
Are you still in on Friday, or did you get bumped from that?
I'm in on Friday. Okay. I got bumped from tonight. I usually do pre-Monday night football with Mutt.
There you go.
So I'm off that.
You got to be feeling good about that. You'd rather do the Monday show.
Well, see.
That's kind of a slap in our face.
No, it's actually about I was going to miss a concert, a chorus concert.
A chorus. Oh, now you get to go.
Yeah. So, which is good. I can support.
Is there going to be recorders? Son. Are they going to be playing the recorder?
I don't know.
Oh, that'd be nice.
But I'm just
xylophones.
I don't really need to.
You gotta go.
If I had to work, it wouldn't be the worst thing.
Do they have like a punch there? Do they have like?
Are you advocating drinking at a middle school chorus concert?
You heard chorus. Me. I just asked if there was punch. You don't need to take it another step further.
I think there was a.
Is there? Is there not punch?
I don't believe there's punch.
All right, I'm not going.
What about just a flask? Or I think what a lot of people, I have my doubts about parents. I have definitely had this. You see them come in with the big Dunkin' Donuts, and you're like, oh, yeah. Is that just coffee
Give
in there?
No,
absolutely
not.
Because you seem extra happy at this concert tonight.
Very merry today. Yes.
Oh, let's not go
Something
there.
Wrong with that. Listen.
Come on
You
got
to do what you got to do.
617-779-7937. At some point, we're not sure exact timing, James White and Daron Harmon will join us down here at Gillette Stadium. John's in Western Mass. Hey, John, how you doing?
Hello, boys. Good morning today.
John?
Good morning.
Yeah, I'm going to risk sounding like an idiot, but I want to give you guys the ultimate conspiracy theory.
Oh, boy.
Lay it on us.
Okay, so number one, Damian Harris is being hidden from all the other coaches and teams in the league because Bill Belichick has a plan to spring him on the league and put our starting guy back where he belongs. That's number one.
Okay, I like
number
it.
Number two. Okay, so number two, we have to play Kansas City and Baltimore anyway on the way to the Super Bowl. What better way is to give them some sense of satisfaction of beating us in the regular season and then kind of like lowering the boom when the playoffs roll around? Because, you know, it's all about February.
Right.
It's got nothing to do with anything before that. That's number two. Number three, they fed Schefter a bogus report so that everybody in the league would say, oh, they're not getting any help at all. But AB will be coming back, and he will be in time for Christmas, and that's when I predict he'll be rolling into town, and then everybody's going to go, oh crap, what just happened? So this is my conspiracy theory, and at the end of the day, we're going to be holding Super Bowl number 7.
There you go, John. John's got to wake up pretty early in the morning to come up with some of these.
I think even Wiggy found that call ridiculous.
No, Wiggy's never giving up on.
No, there's a lot of this offense isn't bad. They're just kind of playing possum. It's like
they're really good at.
There's no possum. They are not.
They are method actors if they are playing possum because they have. I am totally sold.
They're like, let's try to get Brady killed. Let's kind of run the ball for like 3 yards a pop. Let's drop passes in the end zone. Like this is what we want to do.
That's a multi-step. So Damian Harris is going to be great.
He's a secret weapon. And how can he be a secret weapon?
Well, it's a secret weapon.
It would have been nice to use him last night. Just the thought here.
And also, here's the thing. If you controlled what you could have controlled, going back a couple weeks ago when they only had one loss, you wouldn't have to play Kansas City and Baltimore likely in the playoffs. Again, if Kansas City falls to the 4 and Houston's the 3, that's out of your hands. But I don't think that's going to happen, especially after Houston lost to Denver.
What if you fall to the 5?
No, but my point is if you stayed at 1, you wouldn't have had to face Baltimore and Kansas City. They could beat each other in the divisional round.
Right.
But now the caller's probably right. Now you probably will have to face both of them.
And at this point, unless, again, it's a bag job, you should be worried about everybody you play.
Yeah.
Every team that lines up in a postseason game against you.
I was going to say postseason. This Sunday, not so much.
Not so much. If you worry about Sunday, then
you're all set.
You could win the game this weekend with Jarrett Stidham at quarterback.
Yeah, probably. 100%. But the postseason,
you could probably win the
story.
Game. Remember early in the year, there was all these things that if the Patriots offense never took the field, they would have been 3-3 after 3 weeks
it was like 5-1.
Whatever.
Yeah, it was even better.
I'm pretty sure if you forgot your offense this week, just played defense.
Forgot your equipment.
You'd have a good chance.
You'd have a really...
It's to the point. I said this to Ryan last night. There was one point where whatever...
Just before you got mad at him and... Turned on him and stuff.
And I think we're still getting along. I should probably check in.
Give him a text.
The Chiefs were taking over at like the 11-yard line, and I was like, this is like the best you feel about the Patriots. The defense is on the field near the end zone.
No, the best.
This is your scoring opportunity.
If you force them to punt, you're like, they might block this punt. They might block this punt, they might score, or they might get a really short field.
I've said all year, you can't count on that, but at what point?
Well, they keep doing it.
I feel like I can count on that more than Sony Michelle.
It's like Frank
Beamer.
What's
been more productive, punt block or Sony Michelle?
Frank Beamer and Vatek. Every time they lined up to the punt, you're like, they're probably going to block it here.
What's more productive, punt block or N'Keal Harry?
Give me the punt block.
Right.
Actually, N'Keal Harry, that wasn't his fault. He scored a touchdown. He should have had a touchdown.
So we now give N'Keal Harry a first-round pick credit if he makes a singular play per game.
No, I was getting ready to tweet something snarky about
when
I was gonna be like, wait till N'Keal Harry gets off of IR, but then they actually put him into the game,
right?
And he should have scored a touchdown, and it was too bad.
He should be potentially an impact player on your offense.
Is N'Keal Harry playing?
Did Hardman look good?
Mecole Hardman. I said on Friday he's gonna be good for one catch for 60. I was wrong. It was 48, but that's what he is.
DK Metcalf looks pretty good, right?
And when Mecole Hardman, he didn't take any to the house or anything, but when he's returning kickoffs and punts, isn't there at least like a lean at the edge of your seat? Like, hey, he might get something.
Whereas Brandon Bolden caught the ball at the 10, didn't get to the 25.
No. Bolden and Sanu are your return guys.
Awful.
They have Mecole Hardman who runs like a 4.3.
Which is what
they are fast.
I've been saying all year, like, even at your best, your formula for winning is special teams, play defense. Just you don't have a return game. And you don't have a kicker.
It is. You
don't have a kicker or a return game, and you're leaning on your special teams.
And I will say this. The whole Brandon Bolden thing is a kick returner.
Yeah.
So the other teams have figured it out.
Yeah.
Just kick it to the 1. He ain't getting to the
25. Make him run it. Yeah,
he ain't getting to the 25. Anywhere.
And he's now even making bad decisions. I thought the first one, he was like 3 yards deep in the end zone, and he took it out. No. Don't ever do that, Brandon.
No. If they're enough to kick it into the end zone, take a knee.
Put your arms across like every returner in the league and let it bounce.
So the Kansas City Chiefs, for example, if they have the ball on their own 25, say it's a touchback, they have the ball on their own 25, how many players do you think they have on the field that can score a touchdown from there? They have like 3 or 4, probably.
Hill
and Hardman, Kelsey, for sure.
Kelsey, too.
Kelsey can.
Hardman.
Robinson probably can. Yeah. I don't know about Watkins anymore, but he still can.
I think he still can.
The Patriots have 0 of those guys.
Well, that was Mike Reese's note yesterday from the Next Gen GPS stats.
Oh, the
20-yard plays. Yeah. I mean, 20-mile-per-hour plays. The Patriots have 0. They're last in the league, and the Chiefs have like 14.
There's a Legion of Zoom.
You're really going with that.
I like the Legion of Zoom.
What are the Patriots? Let's give the Patriots offense a nickname.
The Tortoise.
We had a guy call him Slohamid Snafu. Yesterday.
I'm guessing that would have been Hart.
Huh?
That would have been your partner.
No, that was a phone call.
It wasn't even Mark
James.
Oh,
it was
James.
Too creative for
no,
Mark
they,
James.
They inspire,
that's better
they
than
inspire
his work.
Nicknames. No, the offense does not have
you have to do 7 hours on the weekend. You take what you can get from the callers.
Yeah. Lewis is in Salem. Hey, Lewis.
Hey, sir. How you doing?
What's going on?
Wow.
So I got my questions are about the offense. So, A, like, how long do you guys think to win, maybe push deep in the playoffs, is the offense like sustainable? Like, can they win you a game, or can they keep you in a game You know, no.
I don't think they can win you a game. The hope is the old, you know, don't turn it over, don't lose a game type of thing.
Which is what Josh said last week. What do you do well offensively? We don't get sacked and we don't turn it over.
Yikes. Okay.
Doesn't feel like offense.
Then, sacked three times this week.
And then where do you guys think the disconnect is in the offense? Like, is it the line, is it the receivers, or is it Brady? Because Brady does one thing good, the receivers do another thing bad, and then vice versa, you know?
Right.
To me, everything starts in the offensive line.
Yeah.
And everything starts
pretty
there.
Pretty bad up front.
I mean, Brady's running for his life. They can't run block, apparently.
Did you like the one where Ferentz basically pushed Jones into Brady?
That was good.
Yeah, yeah.
He turned around, just like, kind of shoved, like gave him a little bit extra boost into him.
But
that was good.
Think of how many, whatever the number is now, he's up to 35 throwaways. But how many times over his 20 years has he had to convince the official that there was actually a player where he threw the football?
Oh, there's a lot of like pointing to, hey, Lacoste is kind of close.
He's doubled that this year. Yeah. You see that like 10 times over 20 years. You see it 10 times this year.
Yeah.
Well, that was one of the three picked up flags, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because he talked them into.
He's right there!
He's right there! And Malakoff is like, I had no idea, but
I was blocking.
I'm standing
You told
here.
Me to block, now you're throwing to me? What am I doing here?
What did you think of the play where they brought Julian Edelman in to throw a cut block?
That seemed less than ideal, but if you're trying to keep...
By the way, what do you think his concussion history is?
Well, he's got a bad shoulder, a bad head, and a bad...
I'll pick the over.
And you're using him to dive into the legs of somebody.
More importantly, he's the only guy who can catch.
But that's where you play in chess. Oh, they think we're going to throw to Edelman because he's the only guy we got.
Yeah, let's take our queen off the board.
We're Josh not, is playing,
playing
chess.
Yeah, I'm not going to use it. But put the queen there behind the pawns.
Spagnola's playing checkers. Josh is playing chess, baby.
I don't know what you're trying to get
Somehow
at.
Somehow checkers won.
Let's take the one guy worth a damn on offense, motion him in, and have him throw a cut block.
A decoy.
Head first.
On a linebacker.
Into a blitzing linebacker.
Decoy. They'll never see it coming. Decoy. They're going to focus on him. And then by the time they realize he's blocking, they're going to freak out and not know who to cover.
Hard to throw to Edelman when he's on the ground.
Brady's tried worse.
No, I guess
there's
that's
plenty
true.
Of guys on the ground he's thrown
of
to.
Of all
this year.
The guys, though, my
of
God.
Of all the guys what in all the games.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
Well, I mean, they're scrambling.
I would get mad enough when they would leave Gronk in the block, but at least that you kind of get.
Well, he's a tight end. He's a blocker. Pounds,
right,
too.
And he's good at it.
It's
I mean, not that Edelman's not good at it, but right, it's part
oh,
of the
Oh, no, he cut the guy. The guy went down.
He did. I would have liked him.
So he
executed.
If this is Pro Football Focus, he gets a positive grade on that.
So who the hell was out there? Dorsett? What are we doing? Who are you throwing to then?
It doesn't matter.
The offense is just it's so bleak. It's so
bleak.
Bleak. It's still, though.
But it's going to be better when AB arrives and Damian Harris takes the league by storm.
Right.
I mean, that's the answer.
We're hiding him.
Damian
Harris. Yeah, because he's so good. You wouldn't want to use him.
No, no.
You wouldn't want to be the number one seed.
No, no.
You wouldn't want to make sure you play at home.
That cuts down on the element of
surprise.
At
least the Bills lost yesterday. So now I think the division, I don't think they
and
lose
for a while
division.
There, I thought, God, are they going to pull this off?
They
close.
Almost,
it was close.
Made it interesting.
But at least, you know, I think they can even lose the head-to-head game with the Bills, and I believe they still have the tiebreakers, and they would still
be.
I believe they do because it's division, which they'll have the same division record. I'm assuming they win the other two games, the Pats.
Yeah.
And then I think it goes to common opponent, and the Bills lost to the Browns.
They have the
advantage. And they lost to Eagles.
So it goes to common opponent before conference. Okay.
Head-to-head.
I thought it was going to hurt the Patriots that all their losses would be
to the division
conference
winners. I guess it's losses. Common opponent. And so there's already a couple there. So
I'm not sure you want to get down to that.
No, you don't. But I mean, that's crazy. That's
try
what
to handle
come
your
to.
Although it would be good rope-a-dope to keep that going. You lose to the Bills. No one will ever see you come.
Part of the whole, you know,
all the playoffs
playing them a little bit.
Nice.
Jason's in Belchertown. Hey, Jason, how you doing?
Hey, Jason, how you doing? Good. How you doing, guys?
Good.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Turn your radio down.
Oh, perfect. Turn your radio down. Yeah, but I don't have my radio on. I got you on Bluetooth. But
I can hear myself.
I can't do it.
That was my favorite.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, and that's better now.
Can you hear us?
What do you got?
I'm in Belchertown, man. This is all I got. Don't hang up.
All right, what do you got?
Belchertown.
No, so first thing I wanted to say is talk about, everybody's talking about the huge missed calls, but let's talk about how the refs shot themselves in the foot here. I understand maybe it was a first down, but where he spotted that ball on the first replay that we challenged, I mean, I got a 70-inch TV, five guys over, and all of us are yelling at the TV.
Nice little party.
And
nice.
Do you guys follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I still think that's a good question. We'll get into more of that coming up. Like, why they didn't have any challenge is because that was one where
they probably could have won it, but it was no sure thing. Like
right.
The other ones would have been sure things. Had they been able to challenge later on, they would have easily overturned those calls.
Time now to talk to New England Patriots running back James White, brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance and Shaw's, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots, and by Feldman Land Surveyors. Right from the ground up, our interview with James is also brought to you by Verizon Wireless. Good morning, James. Good
morning.
How are you?
Doing all right. How about yourself?
Doing okay, thanks. Do you sit at home and sit and stew, or do you try to not think about what just happened last night?
I mean, it's tough, definitely a tough loss. Like I said, we didn't play our best football. Obviously, we know we could have played better, but got to move forward. Still got three games, and got to try to finish the season out strong.
Not trying to get you in trouble with anything about the refs, but just in a game where there are multiple plays, you know, I think every game there's probably one where you say, oh, that probably should have been the other way. We got to move on from it. But when it's multiple plays, including a scoring play, how do you guys kind of just move on to the next play, knowing that you probably, you know, they probably screwed something up?
Yeah, man, it can be tough, but you got to be able to move forward. Happens sometimes in football. You just got to be able to make enough plays to do whatever you can to try and win the football game. Sometimes things aren't going to go your way. You just got to figure things out.
We've been talking a lot sort of about the inefficiencies of the offense, and I'm just wondering, at this point in the year, how frustrating that is and where you see the light at the end of this tunnel?
I think we all know we're capable of doing it, and I think it's just all about us going out there and doing it consistently each and every drive, just playing complimentary football with the defense and special teams. They've been playing good for us all year long. We've had our spots, but I think we just had to be more consistent.
And can you point to anything in particular, or is it different every week? You talk about consistency, but is there something you say, man, if we were doing this better, we'd be okay?
Honestly, we could do everything better. Honestly, it's not just one thing. It's running the football, you know, running routes better, giving Tom more time in the pocket, communicating better. It's a little bit of everything. We just got to go out there and do it.
What's it like in the huddle when they call the play that you're going to be throwing it? What's going through your head at that point?
Make the right decision and throw a good ball. It was a great play call by Josh to kind of start the series off, and I think we needed that type of play to kind of get the drive going.
Is there any thought to, like, take the glove off, or are you used to throwing the glove on?
It's easy for me to throw the glove on. Yeah. I got little hands. So.
What's your history with that in terms of both in practice? How much have you thrown? Do you usually hit it, or have there been some ugly ducks?
Nah, I can throw. I always been confident in throwing the football, so if they let me do it, I'll go out there and execute it.
You get a little excited when you hear the call?
Yeah, a little excited and nervous.
Right. It's like a little different, right?
Yeah.
I mean, all you can do is throw it. You got to make sure he catches it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So how does that work? Do they at practice take all the running backs and they're like, all right, you're all going to throw it. We're going to eliminate some guys right away from this. Or like, how did they know that you could throw?
I think they just know.
Yeah. They just see it like, this guy's got it. This guy's got it.
Swagger there.
All right, fair enough.
Looking for that opportunity a little more often, it sounds like. Wow.
Yeah.
You talked about needing to execute more on the offense. Is offense something that, like, it's contagious? Like, do you feel like if we can just get a drive or a few plays that we can start snowballing it, and why haven't you been able to do that?
I think it's starting off the drive well, good drive starters, and then you just consistently make good plays, maybe get a chunk play here and there, and then you score, and then everybody has confidence. You come back out there, have another good drive starters, just trying to do things well over and over and over again, and then we play good teams, you just have to be able to do that.
One guy we haven't seen at all is Damian Harris. How's he looking practice week to week? Does he look like he could play in this league?
He's working hard. Obviously, I mean, it's not easy to be in the position he's in. I was in the same spot, pretty much the exact same spot as him my rookie year. You just got to practice hard, hit the weights hard, stay in condition, because you honestly never know with injuries, things of that nature. You never know if your number's going to get called. So he's been working hard, and like I said, if this opportunity ever presents itself this year, I know he'll be ready to go.
Coming off the field at halftime, the crowd was booing you guys pretty good, something that has not happened much throughout your entire career. What were you thinking when you heard that?
I mean, obviously, we just know we had to play better. I mean, they're into the game just as much as we are, and obviously, we weren't playing well. So that just comes with sports, man. The fans have their way of showing their emotions.
Bill emphasized to us in his post-game press conference a couple times that he was proud of the fight. And I think he used the phrase that fight to the finish will serve you well moving forward. But from my perspective, I almost assume you guys are going to fight to the finish. That's been proven over the years. But do you believe in that? Any moral victories, even though you didn't get the real victory?
I think we all know, no matter what the score is of the game, we have guys in the locker room. We're going to compete, whether we're down 21, up 21, down 7. I think everybody's going to fight. And I said, when you're playing in tough football games like that, sometimes, I mean, some guys can get discouraged, but our team doesn't. We're going to keep fighting and do whatever we can to put ourselves in position to win the game. I thought everybody did the best they could to put our team in position to do that.
Does that leadership start at the quarterback position?
It's everywhere. I think everybody in our locker room is confident no matter what the score is. If we execute enough, we can put ourselves in position to win the football game. Everybody's kind of vocal on the sideline, trying to keep everybody, you know, in the right mindset and knowing that one play could change the game. Defense can get a turnover or block punt like we had, and then boom, we're right back in it. So just got to be out there and confident at every moment.
Last year, it was two shootouts against Kansas City, regular season and postseason. This one, a lower scoring game. Very aggressive on defense. What's different about them defensively from last year to this year?
I mean, they have a different coordinator, and I mean, they have different ways of trying to stop us and things of that nature. So they kind of spin the dial a little bit. Not going to see too much of the same stuff. They're going to kind of let things roll. So it's all about reading stuff out after the ball snapped and going out there executing.
You're obviously a leader in the running back room, a captain on this football team, and you have a guy next to you in Sony Michel who was a big reason you guys won a Super Bowl a year ago, scuffling a little bit. I think he had 5 carries for 8 yards, didn't play a ton. Is he a guy that you reach out to as a leader? Does he need that pat on the back? How does he deal with this that's going on?
I mean, he's a good football player. Like I said, he might not have had success out there on Sunday and whatnot, but it's not completely all his fault. He's running hard. I mean, sometimes us as running backs not reading things right, and sometimes it's not finishing blocks, things of that nature. Like I said, it's just a combination of everything, and when we go down, we have to throw the ball a little bit more, so that kind of could be the reason why he wasn't in there as much. So, but he's confident in his abilities, and I know that guy. He works extremely hard. He never gets down on himself, and he always has a positive mindset. So, I mean, he's going to keep working, and I mean, those big games are going to come.
On the telecast yesterday, they showed a photo of Tom Brady paying off his bet and having to stand as part of the Ohio thing. Did you have a bet for the Ohio State game this weekend?
I did not.
Oh, lacking confidence?
I'm not a better. So.
I'll tell you, halftime, though, you guys look good.
Yeah, just the second half was a...
Yeah, got away from you a little bit.
Played a dirty trick on them when
yeah,
they played the second
they
half.
Kept going.
Yeah. It's tough.
Well, we appreciate the time as always.
Can I ask real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
You go by Sweet Feet, and I see on Instagram a lot of shoes. I just happened to look down. Are those purple snow boots?
No, they're not purple. They're like tan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the light under. Come on. I thought you were wearing purple snow boots in here. I was going to say, wow, you really do go the fashion extreme.
No, you won't see me with purple boots.
How many pairs of shoes do you have?
Too many.
Is there such a thing?
Yeah.
As too many?
No.
James, thank you. We appreciate it.
No problem.
James White joining us here on Sports Radio, WEEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Now back to Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
The two most fascinating things about it is we often say, like, this time of year, the Patriots know exactly who they are, and so do we. And for the past month, we've said, we don't know. I would argue that after last week, after yesterday, we know exactly who the Patriots are on offense. We just don't recognize them.
Oh,
we've never
deep.
Seen them like this. And we also say this time of year that the Patriots are often getting better. They're getting worse on both sides of the football. That has never, ever, ever happened in New England.
Well, I will agree with part of what Dan Orlovsky said. Generally speaking, post-Thanksgiving, we expect the Patriots to kind of kick it into another gear.
Yes.
They are improved from where they are early in the year. We talk about sometimes it feels like September is an extension of training camp.
Yep.
But you get to the cold weather weeks, and the Patriots are forced to be reckoned with.
Yeah, after Thanksgiving. That's all they talk about.
Yeah. I know, but they lost back-to-back games in December last year.
Correct. For the second straight year, they've lost back-to-back games. Which, by the way, social media people for Julian Edelman, he put out that thing pregame, like, new season, change to December. And
now,
you lost in December last week.
Now, last year...
No, but last week, you...
Oh, last week. Oh,
December 1st
yeah.
Oh, is December.
Correct.
That's how calendars
Every time.
Work.
Every
it's,
time.
It's the damnedest thing.
Yeah. And so, but they lost in December, and that was weird last year. We talked about it last year, the combination of back-to-back games. They rarely lose. They did it earlier in the year, then they did it late in the year. They don't lose after Thanksgiving. They did twice. They don't lose to Pittsburgh. They did. Like, there were so many things last year that didn't normally happen.
And that's now a good thing, because everybody's leaning on the fact that, well, you were 9-5, you lost two December games a year ago, you flicked a switch, and you won the Super Bowl.
So in a weird
now,
way...
I think that's terrible.
I agree.
I made the comparison to, like, a heavyweight champion who is dominant for a decade, and then there's one fight where he sucks, but in the 12th round he throws one haymaker and knocks the guy out.
And, like,
and then the very next fight he sucks for another 11 rounds, and you're like, well, he did knock the guy out. And you're like, no, he's just not very good anymore.
No, that's
he
true.
He needs these crazy haymaker last-ditch efforts to win.
Is it... What's worse, and also the difference
too is... Did I just
say
they're not good anymore? That got, what's his name?
Yeah, hey, Trent Dilfer.
Scrub that from the replay.
Well, the Patriots, through 13 weeks, have their fewest offensive touchdowns since 2006.
That offense,
you know what happened then? Totally turned the team over.
They upgraded
Moss
next year.
And Welker and free agent Spree.
That
was the turning point. That was the line of demarcation.
Right, and this is... I still think this receiving group is better than that receiving group. But the fact that it's even comparable is unfortunate. The fact that you can even go back to that. But would you rather your team lose to teams that don't make the playoffs or all of the other division leaders? Like, what's worse? In a weird way, this what's happening right now is worse, isn't it?
It is. And a little bit of it to me is, I tie it into what Bill said last night that I thought was curious when he praised them so much for trying hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're losing and you're trying hard. I'd almost wish I could convince myself... You're not trying hard, but if I can get you to try hard, we're going to beat some teams because we're talented.
We have the talent. We'll figure it out. No, you don't have the talent.
You're try hard and lose hard.
Yeah, you got a bunch of Rudy Rudigers out there.
Right.
That's not going to get
like
it done.
Like the Celtics, people think they might be a try hard team.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're undefeated at home. They're
but they also
ass.
Have a lot of skill, too, though.
But they're also winning.
And they're winning the
try
games.
Try hard and losing?
Yeah.
Doesn't really do much for me.
Against to all of the other contenders in the conference. You've lost to all the only other.
So how do I muster up? Am I going to try harder in the postseason? Well, no, I'm trying hard. I said they were trying.
I'm trying hard right now.
Am I going to get better? Where's this Damian Harris? I forgot.
I slept through the first hour. Yeah, but the other thing too is, and people could still kind of hang their hat on. Well, if they could just get home field, you know, after they lost to at Baltimore and they lost at Houston, it's like, well, you lose at home to Kansas City
in blue.
You held Kansas City to 23 points, and you still lost.
Which no one does.
No, no.
I believe they had scored 24 points in every game. Correct.
That sounds right. I don't know. I didn't look that up.
Let's go with it.
But, I mean, you keep Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce out of the end zone, and you still lose. You hold them to 75 yards rushing, which is not a huge shock, by the way. They're not a great running team, but you were able to do that. You know, McCoy didn't have any big runs or anything like that.
No, in hindsight, picking him up for my fantasy team.
Ooh, McCoy? Nah.
That's probably not a good move.
Not going to help you. Frustrating, though. Frustrating.
Phil's up in Maine. Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up?
Not too much, Andy. It's nice of you to make a point to make Shime's chorus recital. He's really working hard on karaoke.
That's going to be fine tuning on Monday nights. Yeah.
Career.
That's a good point. Shime opens for middle schools now across Massachusetts.
Shime probably will never take my call again.
Yeah, maybe not.
Well played.
So,
not a living like a blind man.
Anyway, guys.
Hey, I just want to talk to you real quick about Edelman, and I know you guys have mentioned that his shoulder, I think, is documented, his shoulder's hurt.
Yeah.
Did you notice, though, and obviously this must be playing into this, you look at that last play when the Patriots were fourth and goal trying to score, you know, you look at how Brady threw that ball, and obviously if Edelman turns his shoulders and goes after the ball and reaches for it, he probably gets that before that defender actually knocks it away. But because he waits, I don't know, and if, again, I've noticed this on a few different times this year, not just this game, he's been more reluctant to go get the ball and is more basically waited for the ball to come to his body, yep. Which I've never seen him do.
Because he's hurt.
So is that...
He can't. I don't think he physically is capable of those arms aggressively above, out in front, go, you know, the high point drill they do. Yeah. I don't think he's physically capable of doing that.
And I know you're going to defend him, Andy, but that would be shame on Josh McDaniels, because if we know that Edelman's hurt, he has to know that Edelman's hurt. So you're not going to run that play with the game on the line.
I'm going to button hook you and not defend him there. Okay, good.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Is if you know your key, your best receiver, the most productive one, you can't put him in those spots where, hey, we're going to have to make you come up with this catch,
right,
and you're probably going to get injured even more.
But so it's on Brady. It was a bad throw. It was on Brady, a bad throw?
I don't even think the
throw. Should have thrown it lower?
Nope. Should have thrown
it like he threw the Myers one earlier. Down
low. In the stomach?
Let him go get it. Yes, in the stomach. I know Edelman can catch in the stomach. I don't know if he can catch above his head.
But he still needs to come back more to the ball. And you can, if you're healthy, you can extend with your arms. And he's not healthy.
On the one that hit him, he's going across the middle and the ball hit him. It's just like he didn't think it was coming.
No. Nope.
It was like you got me cut blocking linebackers on one play, and now I'm running goal line fades the next. Like that was
the more
just a
you
mess.
Can do. Or
that's
you
just,
can't.
But that's just not the play for him. He could do a ton on the football field. That's not one of the things, especially when he's hurt.
Now, think about
that.
This.
Bill's phrase around here is the more you can do.
Yeah.
The offensive phrase is the less we can do because they can't do anything.
I mean, no. Julian Edelman right now is third in the NFL in receptions.
Tremendous.
He's eighth in yards. He's tied for fifth in receiving touchdowns.
Career highs, I believe, on pace.
He's going to be a Pro Bowler for the first time in his career.
And
all injured.
And he's playing.
Hurt.
We forget about the fact
what
that
percentage of full
right,
bone.
He had broken ribs or whatever, bruised ribs, couldn't breathe for half the time. Now
and
he can't
teams,
lift his arms above his head.
And teams either double him or should double him all
correct.
The time because there's no other viable option.
Which is why it's amazing that he has been as productive as he is.
No, he's been real good, and there were chances, again, earlier in the year where I thought maybe you sit the guy out, you let him try to recover. They didn't do it, so he is as beat up as it can possibly get.
You can't.
Earlier in the year,
what chances?
Earlier in the year, you
when you lose in Buffalo, remember they didn't throw to him early in that game.
Yeah.
It seemed like they wanted Dorsett to be the guy that day.
Well,
they threw him like 11 passes and he caught like two.
He tried.
Who are you going to throw to?
Yeah,
you
got nothing.
Once AB left, you had no tight ends. You didn't even have Watson. I don't think at that point. There's
no
place to throw.
Matt Lacoste,
and you can't run when you have no place to throw and you can't run. Question from the rear.
Yeah.
What are we supposed to do, coach?
Keep your questions in the rear.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Daron Harmon still to join us down here at Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday. It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Now back to Dale and Keith, WEEI.
I know the focus here is obviously on, you know, the Patriots and what happened and all of that stuff. But word from Indianapolis is that Adam Vinatieri will undergo season-ending knee surgery. Colts put him on IR. probably the end of his Hall of Fame career.
See you in That's 5 years.
Have they done the finalists yet for the top 100? Have they done kickers?
Special teamers are the next. What'd they say? Is it safeties and special teams?
Oh, I thought they already did it. He made it.
I don't know.
Yeah, because I thought Ed Reed was the other night, too. I think they did that Friday.
Did they?
I think they did that Friday night. And
yeah,
I believe
safeties and corners, I think they've done. I'm still waiting on wideouts, right?
Yes.
I want to see that. But
I think Jerry Rice will be on it.
I think he might be one of the finalists anyway.
You think Michael Irvin will be on it.
Hey, Michael, you're going to be one of the top 12 greatest receivers ever.
So, a couple things there. One, I don't sound like that. And I think Michael Irvin's going to be a finalist. I didn't say he's going to be one of the final guys.
Every time you do an interview with somebody on the phone, you're like, oh, I got to fluff you up. Oh,
I don't have to fluff anybody up.
That I don't even hear that. And I sit with him every day.
Is that true?
We all have different interpretations of things, Dale.
Come on. By the way, the top performer of the week is brought to you by Ace Ticket, our top performer from last night's game for the Patriots.
Who do you got?
Julian Edelman.
Yeah.
Yep, I'll give you
Ace
that.
Ticket, proud to be the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For trip and ticket information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Yeah, so Adam Vinatieri is on the team.
Yeah, he should be. I mean, greatest kicker of all time.
They were doing that yesterday. They were showing a lot of the Snow Bowl kick highlights.
Oh, incredible.
Just
the greatest kick I've ever seen.
And that no one saw.
Yeah.
Well, like everybody didn't see it.
But I was in the corner down at the opposite end from where that end zone was. I had no idea.
Yeah, I was in the bench area, and I looked like the kid from frickin' Christmas Story. I was like all bundled up because it was ridiculous.
It wasn't that cold, though.
Yeah, but you didn't have... Did you stand out there the whole game?
Yes, I did.
I did.
Well, yeah, I did too.
Oh, well, look at Did you?
Where were you, Rich? At St. Paul's, like your shirt says?
I was. I was in high school.
It was a good game.
It was not as miserable as... I've been much colder here at other games.
No. It wasn't as cold, but the freaking snow piled up.
Yeah.
Then you had all those jack wagon equipment guys like spraying the field down with shorts while they were like cleaning the hash and like pants on out there.
Come on, you guys. Put some long pants
Jermaine Wiggins
on.
Was there.
He was
normally in on Mondays.
He played.
Yeah, he played.
Are you saying you'd rather have him on Mondays? Thanks.
Yes.
It's hurtful.
Yes.
617-779-7937. Marv's in Salem. Hey, Marv.
Ooh, one of the wet bandits.
Hey, guys. How are you?
How you doing?
Marv?
Good. Hey, can you guys clarify something for me? I was watching the game last night. N'Keal Harry thinks he scored a touchdown. He makes like Lucy and takes the ball and runs to the sidelines. And you see Tom Brady waving, was he trying to bring N'Keal Harry back onto the field? And, you know, then because he didn't come back, he took the football with him. Did that cost them some time getting a play ready to go? And did the team get pissed at N'Keal and sitting for the rest of the game?
So, good question. My interpretation of it is the whole team thought they scored a touchdown.
Yeah, they ended up losing and wasting a first down play, in effect.
The PAT team ran on.
Yeah, so they thought they scored a touchdown.
The song, this is, was played. Everything that happens after a touchdown was occurring except for the guy on the side putting his hands up.
Did the Musket Men fire a shot?
I don't know if they fired.
Did they shoot?
That would have been bad.
See, they would have had to count the touchdown if they had, because they don't have time to reload those
things. To answer the caller's question, I don't think Harry had any impact on the next play, and I also really don't think Brady was asking for Harry to be on the next play. And I don't think he got benched because of that by any means, because he basically didn't play prior to that.
He benched the whole game.
Yeah. He had like two snaps,
been
I think.
Benched since the interception on the slant.
Yeah.
And even there, Harry was pointing to the board and yelling at the fit, and people were dragging him off. He could have easily if they wanted him out there, he would have been out there.
They were pulling
him off the field.
Yeah,
Now, Brady did say he didn't have much time to get any, because if you remember, he went right down to the guy. Brady was standing at the pylon talking to pylon guy from Baltimore. Brady said, but I didn't really have time to do anything.
Had his Ravens jersey on under his referee shirt.
I didn't have time to do anything because the 40-second clock is rolling, and they actually had to rush to get the next playoff as it is. They ran out of time.
They had to waste a first down play.
And they lost 3 yards, I think. But I don't believe that there was any N'Keal Harry doghouse was supposed to be out there. Didn't.
No.
I actually think they kind of dragged him off the field because he was still arguing that he scored.
Yeah.
Which he had.
Well, no.
He certainly did.
Because the way scores work is someone with a striped shirt has to acknowledge
it. Has to sign off on it.
Sadly, that never happened.
No, it did not.
It did not, let's be honest, he did score. They just didn't give him credit for the score.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for him because that would have been his second really nice big... Actually,
both were big boy touchdowns.
And right in the same corner.
Yeah.
And could have been... maybe a key to a build. You know, I asked James White, can like one thing or one drive really start this snowballing? Who knows? Maybe that was the play for him that would have ignited something, and sadly it goes the other way. Never happened.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've got our Tom Brady midday replay coming up in just a few minutes. It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart down here at Gillette on a Patriots Monday, Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.